Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Hello, with co-host Mark Holland. It's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, continuing our discussion, a couple of shows already on the subject of having an easy transition when we pass away or become incapacitated. You've looked at different documents you need, and you want to kind of review some of that this week.
Yeah, that's right. So some of the general premise that we're starting from is that everyone needs four major legal documents in order to have a smooth transition. And so the first one is that they need a will or a trust. So typically we think about those documents as death documents. However, a well-designed revocable living trust would also have living instructions in it. So it would also cover you during a time that you were ever incapacitated or needed assistance from somebody else. So the trust kind of pulls double duty compared to a will is just what happens to everything that's left over that I didn't use should I die. So everyone needs a will or a trust. The second document that everyone needs is a financial power of attorney. The third document is a healthcare power of attorney. And the fourth document is an end-of-life document. So most of those documents are centered and focused on what happens should I need assistance during my lifetime. And in other words, someone else is going to need to manage my money or make decisions about my health on my behalf. And so as we speak about a smooth transition, there's always two things we need to be thinking about. Number one is, what happens should I need help? And then number two, what happens when I pass away? So we think about the I passed away oftentimes, right? My turn to go be with Jesus. And we oftentimes forget that good estate planning is covering and making sure that you as an individual, you are your greatest asset, that you as an individual are well protected and cared for during your lifetime. That's why it doesn't matter how much money you actually have that that would fall under the will or the trust. We need to have documents that are that create great expression to take care of you. Now, sometimes we need a fifth document in an easy transition, and that is if you have minor children or if you have even an adult child that you legally care for still. So if they're under a disability of some type and you have court authority. So that could be a fifth document, which is a guardianship issues. And so those are the major documents that everyone needs. And really, these past couple shows, which you can find at legacyandfaith.com, these past couple shows have really been about how do we make sure that we are giving clear instruction to the people who are going to assist us, whether it's during my lifetime or whether it's at death, so that they don't have to struggle. And a couple weeks ago, I made mention that if I went to IKEA, I just get a stick figure that gives us instructions, and those are very hard to follow.
Right.
Unfortunately, a lot of estate plans that I view are similarly associated with that stick figure, which is they're bare bones information. Mm. They're not expressive. And so therefore, it really sets up a very difficult transition. In other words, the more information that the personal representative or successor trustee or the healthcare agent needs to make up on their own, that's the difficult transition. If you have taken the time to express what you want so that they can just follow the instructions, that's a smooth transition. Mm-hmm. So we have to be expressive in our documents, and that starts with finding the right attorney. And so make sure you have the right attorney. Make sure they're not just using templated documents for you and your family. And so it starts with good legal documents. But then it also we need to express what happens to our personal property and multiple other things. So smooth transition, a big deal for most of my clients. They say this is one of their highest, if not the highest reason that they come in. Their highest value for doing estate planning. So if it's yours, then we need to have a more full discussion.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what are some other non-legal documents someone might need?
Yeah, and so there's other things that we can do to help set up this better communication. Again, more instruction in this particular area is better than just a legal instruction. And so therefore, for example, in our system, we have a letter to healthcare agent. And what that letter to healthcare agent is doing is it's giving you different scenarios and different examples of things that we might encounter should you experience a health issue. So, for example, would you prefer to stay at home and be cared for if it was medically possible and safe for you to be at home? So many people would say, well, yes, I would much rather be at home. It's where I would like to be. As a matter of fact, many individuals even say, you know what? If at all possible, I would rather die at home instead of in a hospital. Mm-hmm. And so these are things that we need to know. And if your healthcare agent, who would be in charge of these types of decisions, if they know these things about your values, then does it create an easier decision-making process for them? And the answer is yes, because now they're doing what they believe not just is in your best interest, but actually we have something that expressed your desires. And so, so having rich communication is important. Here's another one that our letter to healthcare would encompass, which is if we needed to transition you outside of your home for care. So if you were having long-term mental issues, so you had Alzheimer's and the care at home was just not safe for you any longer, or it was burdening the family, well, would you prefer that family take care of you until you put them under? Or would you rather not to burden your family? And those are honest questions, by the way. Some of you would go, well, of course we don't want to burden our family. And others of you would go, well, of course I want my kids to take care of me. That's right. Why I had them. Right. And so I don't know what your value is, but we need to express it. If we had to transition you, though, to other care, well, what do you want in that care? Would it be important to you? So we're on a Christian radio station, correct? So my assumption is that a high majority of our listeners love Jesus Christ and would want that relationship to continue in their lifetime. And what does it mean then if we had to transition you to a different environment for your care? Would you want it to be a community of believers, or would you rather have other guiding factors be the determining factor that of where we place you? And so your family, don't you think that would be good information for your family to know? And so the letter to healthcare in our system is pulling out these unfortunate and difficult questions that we really don't want to wrestle and grapple with. But what we're trying to accomplish in our system is that we give your voice to the individuals who are going to be caring for you, because it is absolutely foundational belief of mine that more communication is better than less communication. And so we've created multiple documents to make sure that communication is actually being, is taking place. Now, if you don't fill out the form, I can't help you, but at least I have the opportunity to communicate. Here's another form that's non-legal, which is, do you want a memorial service? So think of the scenario again. You leave behind people who love you and care for you. They just lost you, and now they are emotionally hurting and beginning the grieving process. How clear is their thinking? Okay, so you can think back. Most of us have lost somebody that we love in our lifetime. And so what was your experience? Probably a blur. Probably we don't remember and have clear recollection of those times. So wouldn't it be wonderful if we could hand somebody a document, a non-legal document that doesn't bind them to do it, but is guiding them to say, this is what I want should I pass away. Mm. Here are the people to communicate with. These are the most important people. Make sure these people know. I actually don't want a traditional church service. I would really love it if we gathered at a park, because we always gather at a park for family reunions. That's what I would want. Mm. Or actually, I would really want to have a traditional church service, and I really want you to sing Amazing Grace. Nope, I don't like Amazing Grace. I really like La Bamba. And so I want La Bamba song at my funeral. Okay, that's all good. The problem is that very, very, how many varies can I put in before we run out of time? Very few people give these type of instructions. Do you know it's a great blessing if you actually wrote your memorial so that if you wanted it in the newspaper, it's already set, instead of other people trying to remember
things. And
some
people do that.
Yes, absolutely. Uh-huh.
And that's considered a non-legal document.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so here's information that I would like to give my family should I pass away, so that I set them up with exactly what I want instead of them struggling with making it up.
I would think whether you want to be cremated or buried is that kind of a not, is that a legal issue or not? Or
so that is again a directive issue, and there's multiple places where we could put that in our system. Mm-hmm. And yes, that would be a wonderful thing that people know.
See, and I definitely do not want to be cremated. I want to be buried. But everybody, but Mom, you didn't provide for that. We don't have the money to bury you.
Yeah, that's right. And so actually having a conversation with companies that this is their job, right? They help the transition with a body after somebody passes away. And they prepare it either for burial or for services or for cremation. And so understanding this, you know, unfortunately, my mother-in-law passed away recently. Mm. And actually, I did a tribute show to her a while ago. So, but one of the bigger questions was whether we were going to have open casket or closed casket, because her culture is open casket. But yet, because of how she passed, we weren't sure if that was going to be possible. And so we had to find a compromise. And so it would have helped to make sure that she gave us proper instructions. Now, my father-in-law is still with me, and they had rich conversations around that idea. And so we knew what she had wanted as a family. But if we didn't know, then that could have become a sticky part of just having what was supposed to be a celebration of her life. It turns into some family animosity and some family difficulty emotionally on just something that this is what somebody wants. So leaving instructions behind. Again, we're talking about how do we create a smooth transition? Well, we create a smooth transition with information. If we don't have information, then we don't have a smooth transition. And these are some of the non-legal documents that we have available in our system to ensure that communication can be given to the family, to the personal representative if you use a will, or to a successor trustee if you use a trust. And so, again, communication, and more communication is exactly what is needed for a smooth transition.
Okay, interesting questions here. If people have more questions and they would like to find out from you how to have a smooth transition when they pass or when they become incapacitated, how do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. As I've mentioned, there's past podcasts. There's educational opportunities coming up. That's a great way to get connected with us. And then there's always the you can ask us a question button or make a comment. I'd love to know how we're doing with this show. And so head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, when we come back from the break, making an easy transition, what about special questions for people who owned a business? Do they need something specific? We'll answer that and a few other things when we return with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or If you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memorieswworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memorieswworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Well, my co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show, this time looking at the easy transition, smooth transition, the number one thing that people want when they pass away. They want to be sure that their passing is easy for those they leave behind. And looking into now the subject of what about people who maybe owned a business?
Yeah.
Are there specific things that need to be done for that?
Boy, are there specific things that need to be done if you are a small business owner. And there are two types of estates that are very, very difficult to close in most scenarios. And they are dramatically more difficult if we have poor estate planning documents. And one of them is if you are a business owner. And so we'll describe that. By the way, the second one is if you are in a second marriage and do not have common children. Hmm. And so if you are in a blended family, well, hopefully all that is working out well, but your estate plan is dynamite, ready to explode. Hmm. And so if there are two groups of individuals that I could say, if you are in either of these, do not wait to do estate planning. And the cost and the anxiety of what you leave behind is so much more than anything I could ever charge you. And I'm trying to be as honest as possible. I'm not making an attorney charging joke. So if you are in a blended family, then head over to legacyandfaith.com, communicate with us, and get this moving. Do not wait. Please do not. And if you are a small business owner, do not wait. You are setting yourself, your family up for a very, very difficult transition. And so, so business owners. Yeah. I mean, business can be multiple things. So if you have multiple rental properties, you may not consider yourself a business owner. I would. And so even if you do not use a LLC or an S corp or some other legal business entity to hold your property, and you are just holding multiple properties in your own name or in your joint name for married, that is still a business, in my opinion, and it creates tax and transition difficulties that are unique compared to maybe what we would call, quote unquote, the average individual or individuals who don't own multiple properties or don't own a business. So number one, not the topic of this show, but really if you have multiple properties and you are a landlord, you should be really considering whether or not you need a business entity wrapped around those properties and whether it's in your best interest for protection reasons to actually get that moving forward. And so if you have a legal entity as a business, you should also have a business agreement. So even if you are the only owner, it is best practices that you have a business agreement. So let's use today's example that you have an LLC, okay? A limited liability company is what that stands for. So you can be a sole owner of an LLC, of a business entity. And you go, well, I don't need a business agreement because it's just me. Well, there's several times when you would really wish that you had a business agreement. Number one is if the business begins to fail, and if you are heading towards the unfortunate conclusion that you may need a bankruptcy, then you would definitively want an agreement. So if you have personal creditors, if you have other issues that are going on in your life revolving around creditors, if you made a driving mistake and hit somebody and you were underinsured and are being sued, you will wish that you had a business agreement, even if it's with yourself. Mm. And then the other time that you will wish that you had a business agreement is if you became incapacitated or if you died. So the two times that we are talking about creating a smooth transition are right back on our doorstep again for business owners. So a business agreement is actually a really important document. So for an LLC, it's called a member agreement. You're known as members if you have an ownership interest. And having a member agreement, even if you're by yourself, would be really important. Now, if you have a partner, if you have someone else in the storyline of your business, now it's even more important. You guys got to get on the same page with what happens. Should I become incapacitated? Should I die? To protect your family's interest. And so, I've known people that have multi-million-dollar companies with partners and have no backbone of agreements. And so I kind of scratch my head. You've worked all this time and this hard on building a company that is supporting multiple families, and you haven't taken the time to stop the wheel to make sure that you have good business planning. That is as important in your world as what I've been talking about is these four major documents, which is your will or trust, your financial power of attorney, your medical power of attorney, your end-of-life document, guardianship documents if you have minor children, a business agreement, specifically if you have partners. That would be a sixth document that you say, it is absolutely a must that I have a business agreement, because that's how the rules are going to be played with your business. Otherwise, you're leaning upon Washington law. And so Washington law has a statute that if you don't have a business agreement, it is going to tell you what your agreement is between each other. And so I don't know about you, but I would rather have my own voice, and I would rather have the voice of my partner, if I have partners, to describe how we would want to design protecting our families, how we would want to design how we protect the business or protect each other in this venture, instead of Washington State doing it for us. So no, Washington State doesn't get the business. It's not that dramatic, but it does tell you your rights as a partner, and that's what you would have to follow. So for businesses, one of two major, major red flags. The other one, blended families. If either of these scenarios, and God help you if you're in both, if you have a blended family and you're a business owner, then if you've heard my voice, call me today. So it's really critical that these two issues are taken care of in order to make a smooth transition.
Okay, well, and finally then, should family members be informed about your plan? How much should they know about your transition plan?
Yeah, that's a really critical question that we have is, or that I get oftentimes is, how much should I tell my family? How much should I disclose to them? So that's a real personal question. As an estate planner who has, who would have your family walk in should you become incapacitated or die, would I want them to know, excuse me, more or less? Well, I would probably want them to know more, even if it's unfortunate. I would want them to know more. And so that would then create that first meeting of I've lost somebody to be much smoother and much more cohesive if it wasn't something that was coming out of the blue, specifically if there is something unique in your estate plan.
Maybe just the executor person should know more,
and
all the family.
That would definitely be the starting point, is make sure that the person that you're going to stick this plan with knows what's going on.
Okay.
So they're the worst person to surprise.
Right.
So making sure that your personal representative or your successor trustee, number one, can they find the plan? Okay. So that's step number one. Do you have it in an accessible place? Do they know where your car titles are? Because we're going to need those. Do they know all of your account information? We're going to need to know that. Do they know if you have life insurance? We need to know that. And so, so helping educate the person that you are going to give this duty to, usually the responsible child, okay? So I don't know why we do this to the responsible child. If you don't like one of your children, that's who you should stick with closing your estate. But so they need to know where to find all the documentation. That makes a smooth transition. But then it's a real personal thing of whether or not you bring the family in. And so
locked in a safe that nobody has a key to.
Correct, or a combination. That's right. Yeah. So we're bringing in somebody to open that bad boy up, or it's all in my safety deposit box. Well, we don't even know what bank it is. I've had that scenario. And so, again, communication creates a smooth transition. And yes, would I side on more information is better? In my opinion, yes, but there are specific family dynamics that may not lean or really get us to that conclusion. That's okay. Really, we should let the executor know. They should understand where you keep all your financials, and that is going to set us up for a smoother transition.
Okay, making an easy transition for your family after you pass or if you become incapacitated. That's been the subject the last few shows. You can, again, hear these previous broadcasts at legacyandfaith.com. That's also where people get in touch with you for information.
Yeah, that's right. And past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great stuff. The Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.